When we are thirsty, really dry and parched, where do we find water that satisfies? The answer is closer than we realize. You're listening to Longitude Special Edition. I'm Darris McNeely. We've been going through the series of Christ's last sayings as he lay dying on the cross. We've come to number 5. Let's turn over to John chapter 19 and in verse 28, and we'll look at the 5th statement that Jesus made as he was dying. It begins, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth." And so Christ said he thirst. He was very thirsty, incredibly dehydrated after a very long ordeal. Here Christ quotes a psalm. We have to go back to the 22nd Psalm to see exactly what Christ did quote here, beginning in verse 13. And this is a well-known psalm that really adds to this statement that Christ made. In Psalm 22, beginning in verse 13, it says, "They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." And so the psalmist writes here in a very, very appropriate description of one who is very thirsty after going through a great deal of trial and suffering. And this is what Christ quoted as he was dying. In mocking disdain, the guards offered Christ a very bitter mixed cocktail. And no sympathy, no concern whatsoever. As we approach the time when we take the symbols of the sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ here in just a few days, I know many of us are going to find, as we examine ourselves, that we too are very thirsty. We are reminded by this event that we cannot expect to have our spiritual thirst satisfied here below by anything that we do in the physical realm, by any physical means that normally would quench a thirst in a that we would have, as described here in Psalm 22, where our tongue would actually cleave to the roof of our mouth. By ourselves, we are totally lacking the ability to slake, if we can use that term, a natural spiritual thirst that comes. And yet, those who examine themselves, and those who seek to follow the example of Christ, those who seek to become godly, are thirsty, and they realize that they indeed are thirsty. Let's go to another psalm, Psalm 42, where we find here in the first 3 verses another description of a godly person. Here the psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" And so here is described an attitude of one who is thirsty in a spiritual sense, longing for a relationship with God, longing for something from God in a spiritual realm that satisfies a great deal of longing and needs, emotional needs and spiritual needs that are recognized here. And of course, God's Word provides that for us. It's quite a difference that we find in the Scriptures between what Christ was offered by the Roman soldiers. God offers us the needed nourishment, spiritual water, if you will, that is so important for us to come to an understanding of God's purpose and plan. In fact, Christ himself pointed to that back in John chapter 7, as he was talking on another occasion during another season of God's festivals. He was in the temple and he was teaching at that particular point. And in John chapter 7 and verse 37, we find that on the last day, that great day of the feast, it says, "Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then John adds in this, in verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." The message of Christ as he was dying on the cross is for us to realize that God alone is the one who can supply our needs, and that he alone can take care and nurture our spirit. Hopefully, as we approach this season of the year, where we contemplate the symbols of Christ's death, and we begin to take the symbols of the New Testament Passover, we thirst for that glass of wine that we take, and we thirst for the kingdom of God, understanding that we have been spiritually dehydrated by the events of the year, the events of the past year in our own life, whatever it may be, setbacks, deaths in the family, sickness, emotional bruises, or disappointment even from those that we thought knew better. All of those can dehydrate us. All of those can take a toll in our life and drive us to the point where we realize the need for God to give us the life-saving waters of His Holy Spirit to give us a nourishment and to actually quench the thirst that in a way that can only be done by God and by that relationship with Him. So as we renew our participation in the new covenant by the symbols of the Passover, let's remember God's promise that comes out of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, that those who hunger and thirst indeed will be filled and be filled with the life-giving waters of God's Holy Spirit. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.